present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Andre Melle in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, I am going to ask our four contestants if they can speak for just a minute on some unlikely subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject which is written on the card in front of me. And according to how well they do this, they will gain points or their opponents will. And let us begin the show with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, the subject for you to begin the show with, impulses. Can you talk to us about impulses for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, this is a word that covers a multitude of sins. You can have electrical impulses, and you can have, how often have we heard it? What a generous impulse. And, of course, I myself have on many occasions indulged in just that kind of thing. I saw an old lady hobbling round Russell Square. I said to her, you do...
Clement Freud has challenged you. Why?
Deviation.
Why?
You can't hobble around a square.
Brilliant. A very clever challenge, Clement, which definitely deserves a point, but as colloquially speaking one talks about going round a square if you're walking, I think it would be only fair to give Clement Freud a point for a good challenge. Leave the subject with Kenneth Williams. 33 seconds, Kenneth. Impulses starting now.
And of course another...
Clement Freud has challenged you again.
Repetition of course.
You wicked so-and-so. It is perfectly correct, but when one has to gather steam and get going again, it is very difficult. All right, Clement, I agree with the challenge. It was legitimate. You gain a point for correct challenge. You take over the subject. Impulses, 31 seconds left, starting now.
Sitting quietly at my desk alongside Kenneth Williams, I perceived a most unpleasant sensation in my right knee and understood at once by the extraordinary expression on my friend's countenance that it was no less than his right forefinger sticking in...
Peter Jones' challenge, why?
A repetition of right.
Exactly, there was a repetition of right. I thought you were going to have him for deviation, but you were most modest in that. And I would have allowed it too, because we can't have that sort of thing, as Kenneth Lowe often says. It's a family show, isn't it, Kenneth?
Exactly, yes. Family show. Good, clean entertainment. I could go on this subject. Are you giving me the subject?
No, you haven't got it. I agree with Peter's challenge. It was a repetition of right, so you gain a point, Peter. Take over the subject. 10.5 seconds, impulses, starting now.
When they are good and generous and constructive, I think they should be given into. On the other hand, when they are destructive and when they are...
It's wrong. That whistle tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Peter Jones, so he gained the extra point, and he has two at the end of that round, and so has Clement Freud. They're equal in the lead. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin. From impulses to hopes. Can you talk to us about hopes for 60 seconds, starting now?
My first hope when young was that I would encounter a willowy wench from West Wickham with whom I would pass the rest of my evenings in what could loosely be called companionship. And then, as time went on, I realized that this was a pretty shallow hope. So I met an old age pensioner from Croydon, and together we had such happy evenings going together.
Andre Melle has challenged. What?
And joining the Derby and Jones. Where. Yes?
Yes. You're ready for your challenge, are you, Clement? Mm. Andre, why is your challenge?
A deviation, because with that old age pensioner, charming as she might be, there could be no hope at all.
You don't know the old age pensioner, do you? And you obviously don't know Clement Freud.
He
and after all,
callous about old age. Yes.
And also, not you nice. Can be. I mean, there's hope always, wherever you may go. And,
yes, it springs
Zoe,
eternal,
I think,
doesn't it?
Oh, shut up, Ken. Though I do think it was a very good try, because. But I do think you can interpret that hopes in this particular way, the way Clement Freud was taking it. So I disagree with your challenge, Andre. Clement has another point. 30 seconds, hopes, Clement, starting now.
In maturity, my hopes took on a completely different countenance. Young girls, nubile nymphs, old.
Andre Melies' challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think the audience helped the hesitation there by laughing at the nubile nymphs and Clement Freud. So, Clement paused. Andre got in first. I agree, Andre, a point to you. 20 seconds for hope starting now.
Hopes this finds you as it leaves me, yours ever, Fred. This is a letter that I have kept over many years because it expresses one of nature's most charming attributes, a feeling that perhaps in the future we will enjoy happiness and good health. Man is always optimistic. This puts him...
Well, with great energy, Andre Emery kept going then right up to the whistle, gained the extra point for that.
A vitamin injection, look.
She was certainly hoping anyway. Andre, you have 2 points now, alongside Peter Jones, but Clement Freud is in the lead with 3, and Andre, your turn to begin. Superstitions. Can you talk to us about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
These are omens and things that happen. Some things that we see, which we feel will bring good fortune or bad luck. Actors are particularly superstitious, perhaps because more than other people, their future depends on the appreciation of an audience, and fortune takes a very important part. For instance, in the theatre, you must never say the last line of the play before you actually get to it on the first night. You mustn't mention a certain Scotch play written by Shakespeare. Why they haven't interrupted, because I've said the same word 6 times, I don't know. And whistling in the dressing room is particularly terrible. Somebody caught doing this has to go out of the room, knock on the door, I think turn round once, maybe again, before they can come back into the room.
Clement Freud, you challenge that.
Gallantry.
Yes. Yes, gallantry. She really dried up, so that's not a challenge, Clement. What are you...
Hesitation.
Yes, all right. A hesitation. Yes, you let her go on all the other things until she dried up of her own accord. Clement Freud came in first. 1 point, Clement. 8 seconds. Superstition starting now.
I was accosted by a man.
Kenneth Williams, why you challenge?
Deviation. He's never been accosted in his life. So
jealousy will get you
nowhere. Oh, dear!
Actually, I thought the deviation was you say he was accosted by a man, but...
I never said anything of the kind.
I know
he's never
been
accosted in his life. Well, wash your ears out, you do, mate. That's your orals business scene, too.
I was suggesting...
Yes, yeah, an oral.
I was just suggesting something more devious than what you had referred to. That was all, Kevin.
There's nothing devious about that, either.
Oh, there is not, right?
Not nowadays. You shouldn't be accosted by anybody. Monkeys are doing it now.
So I'll give you a point for a good challenge, but it wasn't, strictly speaking, deviating from the subject, so Clement keeps its superstition. 6 seconds, starting now.
There are some who think that if you take out your top row of dentures and hang them...
Clement Freud was speaking when the whistle went. He gained the extra point, and he's increased his lead at the end of that round. We're back with you, Kenneth. Your turn to begin. The subject, Hadrian. Can you talk to us about him for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I don't know very much. Said that he was proconsul in Britain and built that vast wall against the Picts and Scots, who were marauding like mad, going about in all that woad and those daft sort of paints. And then he went back to Rome, and there was this great lover, Antoninus, and he asked these sculptors to come and do a likeness of this boy, who I believe he elevated to godhead. He made him some sort of divinity in Roman mythology. Whether, of course, you have any respect for Roman mythology is neither here nor there.
Andre Melly has challenged.
2 Roman mythologies.
Yes, I'm afraid so, because we were fascinated. He said he didn't know much about it, but I thought he was most informative.
Would he like to go on? Because I wouldn't like to.
No, you've got it now. Right, keep your buzzers ready. 32 seconds on Hadrian. Andre, starting now.
He got hold of the left leg of my jeans and pulled it, a very vicious white bull terrier by the name of Hadrian, belonging to friends of mine. I've always been particularly frightened of this species of dog and thought that the name was soldier-like and suitable for this particular animal. I don't want to say more about it.
Jones got in then.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, Peter. You had the subject of Hadrian 8 seconds, starting now.
His job, as I understand it, was to consolidate the territories that had been won by his...
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Repetition, I've already said that. Build the wards, keep out the pigs and Scots, and we're marauding. I've already said that.
Yes, you've said it in different words, and after all, you can, as long as
repetitions,
you...
Danny, is a rule of the game. Repetition. Yes. That applies to themes...
But he has... Peter has
How
not yet...
How dare you!
I must explain to the listeners that actually what happened was Kenneth got up and took his jacket off to me, so I took mine off to him and he sat down again.
It wasn't to have a fight, I was not.
Well, I must point out, I am a little bit bigger than Kenneth.
I was not, though.
I'm hot, too.
Really?
You've no need to illustrate to us how hot you are, Kenneth. This is a clean show.
Sorry.
Peter Jones had not repeated himself in this particular situation, so it is not a correct challenge. Peter has a point. 6 seconds. Hadrian, starting now.
One of the best four-year-olds in training won the Melbourne Cup in 1912, written by...
Peter Jones is speaking when the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he's doing some creeping up now. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Can you talk to us about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
The Leaning Tower of Pisa, if you go and see it now, tends to lean, which is not surprising in view of its name. But in fact, it was built as a completely straight erection, after which people turned around and said, how boring is this pillar? And unleveled the field in which it was constructed, so that the ground now slopes at an angle of something like 12 and a half degrees from one end to the other. And on this slope is this completely vertical column.
Andre, you challenge first.
Hesitation.
Yes, Andre, you have a point, and you have 23 seconds. The Leaning Tower of Pisa starting now.
If you are a tourist and you go to Italy, you are expected to go and have a look at this object, which is pretty boring.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Deviation. If you go as a tourist to Italy, you're not expected to do anything.
What a very difficult thing for me to judge.
She's
on.
Having us believe that the Italians are what standing there saying, we expect you to look at the Pisa. Go and have a look. Not doing anything of the kind. Half of them couldn't care less, and they're rather bored with the sight of you all swarming over their lovely country.
Yes.
You think you best to keep out of their places.
They're probably hoping that you're looking at it, but I don't think they expect you to look at it. I think that's a legitimate challenge.
Yes, of course. Yes. You give the subject to me.
Yes. You have a point on the subject. 15 seconds starting now.
Giuseppe Balsamo was asked to build this vast edifice. And he said, of course, he said, by running a vertical rod up the middle. Here.
Peter Jones, why do you challenge the vertical
rod? Well, I don't agree that it's a vast edifice. It's, after all, only 224 feet high.
Are you going on, or are you...
No, but I don't think it's a vast edifice.
Now, when does a small edifice become a vast edifice? This is where the chairman's job becomes impossible. Vio Zimmi Vigetti, whatever his name was, probably in those days he considered it to be a fairly vast edifice. But after all, there were no Empire State Buildings in those days. So I think, according to his idea, it was vast. So Kenneth has another point. And 5 seconds, Leaning Tower of Pisa, starting now.
So he went across to Louis XIII, who happened to be passing by, and he said, you know, Coventry Street Corner House.
So on that round, Kenneth Williams did the creeping. And Andre, it's your turn to begin. The subject is tadpoles. Can you talk to us about that? The audience seemed amused at that. Anyway, 60 seconds starting now.
These are fascinating little creatures which come from... I forgot what it's called.
Hesitation. Hesitation, yes. Her frog's born stuck in her throat. And Kenneth got in first. There are 53 seconds on tadpoles, Kenneth, starting now.
Tad, as you can see by consulting the Oxford English Dictionary, is a small rag. The pole on which these bits of rag were festooned became known as the tadpole. And the later development of this is, of course, the maypole, which everyone used to dance around singing, there are great skies just around the corner. That a bright cloud pass through the sky. And so you're fighting for the soon as landing, because we knew from the clear that they burned through. What's the matter?
You were challenged in the middle of your dance, Kenneth.
He always comes in on the end, you know that, Nick.
He came in the middle then, right in the middle of the song. But we waited till the end, we let you finish the song. We didn't understand a word of it, but... Clement Troy challenge first, yes.
I understood two words, and they were both red skies.
Well, you were closest, so I'll take your word for it, Clement. You have a point. 26 seconds for tadpoles starting now.
When I was young, I knew that tadpoles came from butterflies and turned into frogs, which later became eaten by vile Frenchmen who put flour, egg, and breadcrumbs.
André Melly has challenged. Why?
Load of rubbish.
Of course it is.
Well, that's
you were a bit late with your challenge, weren't you?
Well, because I knew he'd have some clever reason to get it back at you. You
I
wait,
said,
you have it.
That's what I thought when I was young.
There you are, you see. Well,
that's what I said. You
he did actually say, yes, you're quite right. So, Clement has another point. There are 13 seconds for tadpole starting now.
And then I went to botany lessons and learned the error of my ways. A tadpole is frog spawn, which matures, and arbiters of taste will be pleased to hear that frogs have very little fun.
You can't allow to give Clement any quarter. You know how clever he is at the game. Clement Freud has gained a very definite lead at the end of that round, and Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is cunning. Can you talk to us about that starting now?
I suppose the most remarkable exponent of cunning was Machiavelli, and I've no doubt that Kenneth will interrupt me very shortly and tell me all about him. He wrote a wonderful book called The Prince, which I feel all politicians have studied very carefully, and in a nutshell, the message is that the end justifies the means. And this in the...
Kenneth DiGiangio.
Well, I think it's disgraceful hesitation that he should quote me as an authority on Machiavelli. I mean,
he wasn't
right?
Actually,
I
Kenneth.
Sit here a fair-haired example of sprightly youth, don't I? Yeah. I mean, I'm beautiful.
Yes,
I'm
you're absolutely. You're the epitome
I'm
of it. You're the
who would associate me with cunning and
yes,
deviousness?
Yes, absolutely, but he wasn't. He was stuck on how to keep going on the subject of cunning, which I suddenly threw at him, and the only thing he could think to say was that perhaps you would interrupt him and tell him all about Machiavellian cunning. And it was quite a clever way to keep on cunning, you see.
Oh.
But you got him then on hesitation, which was quite legitimate, so you have 30 seconds to take over. Starting now.
Cunning is, of course, the using of ulterior motivation in order to achieve your object. Now, this is something totally alien to the English spirit. Here in this country, we've been taught the war is won on the playing fields of Eton. How true that is. Even today, we see those lads going out there with their sabres flashing, and there's nothing like a flashing sabre to get you.
I think you got in just in time. The idea of them going on the playing fields of Eton with their sabres flashing, really. Somebody did challenge you. Actually, it was André Melly, but you did it a fraction after the bell. So there we are. You have leapt forward.
Oh, God!
From fourth place to second place.
Well, I've never won in the series, let's face it.
You used to win quite a lot.
No, not in this series, I ain't.
No. The dice are stacked against you, but
stacked
you gave us...
against me, you
yes,
see.
Yes, but you gave us great value, Kenneth.
Well, thank you, Nick. You are kind.
Yeah. Kenneth Williams, it's your turn to begin again. The subject Wednesday. Can you talk to us about Wednesday for 60 seconds starting now?
Haply I can, for it is named after Woden, the god, of course, of war. Norse, actually, that is Norse folk.
Oh, Clement Freud has challenged you.
Two Norse.
So, Clement, a correct challenge. Repetition of Norse. 49 seconds Wednesday, starting now.
Wednesday is the third or fourth day of the week, depending on whether you count Sunday as being the first or last.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Yes, the word is Wednesday. We're not discussing Sunday.
But he was establishing where in the week Wednesday came. I think he
we
made
all
that
know
quite
that
clear.
Everyone here knows that. They don't want that. What do you think they are? A load of idiots. Me telling where Wednesday comes?
Yes. You've got to keep talking, even if you talk to people as if they're telling them information they already know. And anyway, it was very interesting.
Oh, you think so?
Yes. Depending whether
you. Now throb him with the ear, I am. Scintillating.
Well, throb a little more with Clement Freud.
Rubbish.
All right.
The best you can do, third day of the week. You want to give up.
Or fourth day, whichever way you like to have it. So Clement has another point. 40 seconds on Wednesday. And I must tell the listeners that he's about to start again with intimidation from Kenneth Williams, who's sitting beside him. Wednesday, Clement, 40 seconds, starting now.
The Normans had a saying of, if Wednesday's here, Thursday cannot be far behind. And the Royal Society for the Propagation of Uplifting Tuesday to Wednesday status never caught
on. Andre Melly, why do you challenge?
It was a slip of the thumb.
You cannot afford them in this game because whoever is speaking gains a point for an incorrect challenge. This case is Clement Freud again.
26. How many times is he allowed to say Wednesday? That's what it was really.
Well, all you're allowed for.
You have to leave it to my discretion, depending how often and with what space
Well,
of time.
But a repetition, he'd said it too many times.
He hadn't. He's still got another point. 26 seconds for Wednesday, starting now.
Saturday night is the landiest night of the week, because that is the night, my
friend. Peter Jones has challenged.
He's talking about Saturday night.
Yes, a repetition of night, Peter, so you have another point. And there are 23 seconds of Wednesday starting now.
Very little happens on it as a rule. I can remember many that I've enjoyed. They started at about 7 o'clock in the morning in various parts of the world. And the afternoon of Wednesday is a holiday.
Andre Melly challenged
one. A hesitation.
No, he didn't. He paused almost enough to hesitate. You were a bit keen. His awe came out. It's a funny way to put it, isn't it? Actually, didn't know whether to say awe or something else, but the O came into an awe. I disagree with the challenge. 4 seconds on Wednesday, Peter, starting now.
Holiday in Doncaster and also in Warrington. And so if you happen to be...
Peter Jones is then speaking when the whistle went. He gains the extra point, and he has leapt forward. It is a very tight neck-and-neck game. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, close to your heart, I know, racing. Can you talk to us about it? 60 seconds, starting now.
Racing close to one's heart is one of the most dangerous things, as any medical expert will tell you. The beat of that organ, which I'm not supposed to mention again, should be around 18 to 23 a minute. And yet when it's racing, when the speed is upwards of 40, then the blood pumps through your veins, your head swims, an excess of nitrogen may well enter your stream, and the system fades out, whereby the only thing you can do is phone the undertaker shortly.
Peter Jones has challenged. Why?
Well, I thought I'd better ring the buzzer. He seemed to be about to expire.
You mean, obviously, if he's faded out, he couldn't phone the undertaker.
Exactly,
thank you.
No.
And after all, if you're going to go on undertakers and death, and this, I'm afraid, is the last subject for which we have time for in this particular round, so Peter Jones, you have a point, and you have 21 seconds for racing, starting now.
Well, before we wind up on this subject, I would like to say that I used to do it with pigeons when I was a small boy. And it was great fun sending them in baskets on the train, sometimes as far as the Channel Islands or even the coast of France. They used to fly back.
Peter, we're deeply indebted to you. At the end of this particular edition of Just a Minute, you left us with that particular thought in our minds, because none of us know how you managed to do it. I'm afraid we have no more time, so it remains for me to give you the final score. Equal in third place were Andre Melly and Kenneth Williams, and they were 4 points behind Peter Jones, who, in spite of a last little rush there, didn't catch up our leader, who remained throughout and still is this week's winner, Clement Freud. I'm sorry we have no more time to play Just a Minute, because we have enjoyed playing the game as usual. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.